You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Brother Oshi, Baba Oshi. Hey, it's all good. I guess because I see it on my screen here, you know. Yeah, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and in the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And then there, of course, is the shortcut. Just go to Baba Oshi. BABAOSHI.net, BabaOshi.net, and there will be programs for you. And it's pretty up to date, so. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Itaki Kamban at from 8 to 9. From 8 to 9 on Mondays, Black Therapy Central. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations every first and third Mondays. Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, every Tuesday evening from 8 p.m. till 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richards every Friday at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 7 to 9, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. to Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And of course, Africa for the Africans. I've just mentioned that. Brother Bomani sent me all kind of good stuff. They're leaving tomorrow. They're leaving tomorrow to go into Tanzania. And from the 18th through the 29th.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Oh, I've got all kinds of stuff going on here. My bad. Stop it. So they're going to Tanzania. They're going to be there from the 18th to the 29th and look forward to their return. And then we can talk about it when Brother Bomani gets back about all the great things that they've done. I really wanted to go, and I still want to go to Tanzania. My problem, of course, is I fell ill, particularly respiratory-wise, and Tanzania is elevated. And so I want to find out, you know. In fact, after I realized I was not going to be going on this trip, I know that the Bulezi that we work with, the young men that we work with, have a trip planned to go to Tanzania and to, of course, to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, not the whole mountain of Kilimanjaro, but to go up into an elevated area. And, of course, that may be a problem for me. So, damn. We'll see. We'll see as I get better, and I'm getting better. So, other trips that are on Brother Bomani, Africa for the Africans, is Ghana, December 24th, next month, December 24th to January 5th. And then Senegal and Gambia, April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. And the trips are $3,800 per person, double occupancy. Everything you need is on the website, Africa for the Africans. Everything from the forms, the visas, everything you need, all the information. But if you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Brothers and sisters, Africa for the Africans.org. Habashah Incorporated.org. Habashah Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. They continue to do work here locally as well as on the continent. Habashah Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs, and of course the Kashi Project that is happening. Go to the website, HabashahIncorporated.org, and you can see great work that these brothers and sisters are doing. The LEDGE Program. LEDGE stands for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Program, dealing in the areas of human existence, which are vital, food, water, clothing, and shelter, have 12 projects in 6 countries, over 170 employed, with over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, be a member of the LEDGE group. In fact, membership, of course, has its privileges, as the saying goes, and the LEDGE group has worked out with the country of Tanzania, again, the opportunity for you to buy land, an acre of land for $250. $250 U.S., you can buy an acre of land in Tanzania. So check it out, the LEDGE Group. And go to ledgegroup.com. Bibiatumi.com. Bibiatumi.com. They have trips that you can take to go to Ghana. They have the courses that you can take, particularly the language courses. You know, Bibi Atumi is a great resource. Brothers and sisters, go to Bibi Atumi, ABIBITUMI.com, and all kinds of good information, all kinds of good programs, membership, news feeds, you know, self-help, fitness training, you know, physical fitness, self-protection, a lot of good stuff on bibiatumi.com. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here of Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. And the course, the African History course of Know Thyself, Baba Olatunji, is online now. That's happening. So check it out. If you want to call Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, delicious smoothies and health drinks and pastries and soups and so forth, give them a call at 404-444-1635, 404-444-1635, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, my good sister, Mama Nia, and she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, you name it, they'll have it. And if they don't, they'll get it for you, especially a particular book. So that's why they're there. The other bookstore we promote, of course, is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. And Main Street in Lithonia, Brother Gazimdi Ajamu has a delicious coffee bar serving delicious Cameroon Boyo coffee, my favorite. Give Brother Gazimdi Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. And, of course, up the street from him, further
east is the Stonecrest Mall, where they have the new Black Wall Street Marketplace, the new blackwallstreet.com. Go to the new blackwallstreet.com and look for yourself, see for yourself what's happening with the new blackwallstreet.com here in Atlanta. Their grand opening is next Friday, Black Friday. You know, they have a lot of good shops in there, the new Black Wall Street. So check it out. Go online and check it out. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night, tomorrow night's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us. You can call in to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Scents, the one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, please call Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabriela Aurelia, is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Please go online to check it out, the good work in education for those young students, health, and sustainable agriculture, as well as entrepreneurship. Go to Sanjay, SONJAY-HAITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti with Akaban Institute and brothers and sisters, they deserve to be supported. They're independent. They rely solely on us. And the students they have, many of the parents, they don't have the kind of money. Some are single parents. The money that would take to really establish the institute that they have. So please, brothers and sisters, if you can send them check a money order out to Akaban Institute and send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But of course, you can use PayPal and Cash App. Okay, Cash App, $ YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, too, the books that they have. He's a prolific writer. And go to AkabanHouse.com. AkabanHouse.com. This Saturday is Kibuka, remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. And Baba Baruti is really moving. I wish it, you know, you could experience it physically and live, but it's going to be. It's this Saturday from 5 p.m. to 9. Donations is $20 a family, $15 a couple, $10 for adults and $5 for children. You register, include the pertinent information, Kibuka, K-E-B-U-K-A, K-E-B-U-K-A, your name, your email address so they can send it, the link to you. And once again, it's $20 a couple. $20 a couple and $20 a family, $15 a couple, $10 for adults and $5 for children. Got to get it right there, Baba Oshi. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to go to the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And yesterday was November 16th. When justice is slow in coming, it's because it's gone on a long trip to look for study. But flexible branches with which to chastise the culprit, all the better. A Fubé proverb. Those who pave and trod the paths of evil have enormous but reasonable fears. They act out in the expectation that others will do them what they have done to others. That's been a thing about people that said about Caucasians. Their main fear is that we will do to them what they have done to us. You know, retribution is, you know, you could just justify. But I don't care about doing anything to them what they have done to us. I want them to just leave us alone. I want us to come into our right minds and do what's important for us to do. They know the crimes they have committed against the universe and not just to those whose spirits they insulted. As long as those have attempted to destroy have remembrance, they have every reason to spend their generations watching their backs. Only a menticidal fool would not believe that Yoruba do not know exactly what they have done and are continuing to do. Affirm, I have found the branches I need to do the corrective work. Affirm, I have found the branches that I need to do the corrective work. November 17th. Children are the only future of any people. I repeat, children are the only future of any people. If the children's lives are squandered, and if the children of a people are not fully developed at whatever cost and sacrifice, the people will have co-signed themselves to certain death. Dr. Francis Cress Wellesley, a great ancestor. Especially under the circumstances which we find ourselves, I am surprised at the number of endorsements applauding the information and knowledge possessed by individuals who are experts about our children's lives. Having studied our situation for decades, these knowledgeable individuals will articulate their inevitable situation. The disturbing part is that their works or their words are almost never directly and actively applied to improving the lives of our children. These experts claiming to be warriors should know better, because we know that there is no such thing as intelligence without conscious, concrete application. This direct connection between head and hands has always been our tradition. In fact, to think and not use those thoughts in service to the community is not considered thinking. Such barren contemplation has always been seen as mere stupidity. So all of the grand pronouncements and treaties about the plight of our children and future means nothing if concrete corrective action is not uncompromisingly transformed into action designed to save them at whatever cost and sacrifice. If their lives are squandered and our future as a people ruined, then ignorance is not the blame. The only possible cause, given Yoruba's centuries of systematically suppressing our children's genius, therefore keeping every coming generation down, could be our fear of what Yoruba would think and do to us if we did what is required to save them. That's deep. Affirm, I assure you that our children's lives are not squandered. Affirm, I assure you that our children's lives are not squandered. The Inye Sesil of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know, that's, once again, when I deal with a topic, somehow that topic becomes revealed through the Inye Sesil. And because I'm talking about menticide, I'm talking about mass mind control, you know, that's what I'm dealing with today. How mass mind control is used to keep African populations in captivity. They have taken the chains off our bodies and put them on our minds. And yet, many of us believe that we can free ourselves within this system, when everything about this system speaks to that the benefit of this system is for Urugu, it's for Caucasians, it's for white people. But we believe that we can do this. Now, one can make the argument we can do it individually, but that's not who we are. Just because you think you got your stuff together at the expense of all of us, that's no benefit for us. We all have to have our stuff together collectively. Once again, we are a collective people. You know, individualism is a European, Caucasian, Urugu desire, but collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. It is who we are. Ubuntu. So we're going to get off into this today. Hope you will join the conversation, add to the conversation of how our minds have been manipulated, how we've been trained to think, how devastating it has been and continues to be. I know that here in America, we fall into the mundane, the everyday life that we live, you know, trying to get by, trying to maintain, trying to have some semblance of sanity. And yet, we don't understand that it is not for us. It surely is not for us collectively. I'm quite sure for Caucasians, a few of us here or there, that's fine. But us as a mass? Oh, hell no. At their expense? That's what, when affirmative action came in, that was their main thing, that they'll start getting more positions than we. In fact, many Caucasians are talking about it's better to be black. It's never better to be us in this situation. Never, ever has been and never will be better to be us. It's better to be black today. Look at all the things. You have affirmative action. You have welfare. You know, never. And then once again, an individual or two could have benefited tremendously. I mean, yes, we do have people who, some of us, there's a few billionaires. So? Millionaires, so? We still ain't running nothing. We still don't control nothing. We still don't have the ability to employ ourselves. We still don't have the ability to control our health. Control our, we have no, we are beholden to this system. There's a few pieces in it that I was going to play, but I'm not going to do that. But I'm asking you, our listeners, to please join me in this conversation. And of course, there's been other people already in the queue, and of course, you hit star. Twice, you hit star twice, and that'll let me know that you want to get in and you have comments or questions. How mass mind control is used to keep American African populations enslaved. If you were a victim of mass mind control, Would you even know it? Is it possible for an entire population to be completely brainwashed? Do governments and institutions actively, intentionally attempt to control the minds of the masses of people? Once again, you have seen and you know of, you've heard of what Caucasians are capable of doing and over the time. And I'm talking about, when I talk about Caucasians or Europeans or Urugu, I'm talking about, I ain't just talking about Americans. I'm talking about all the Caucasians, wherever they are, coming out of Europe. These are the only Caucasians on the planet. They came out of Europe, the European countries, 500 years ago, after having suffered through a so-called medieval period, a dark age. They were land poor, resource poor, people poor. They had an awakening. The only information that was happening in Europe was in the western part of Europe and what is Spain and Portugal with the Moors, African men and women who had embraced Islam. And for hundreds of years, they provided information. They provided techniques and so forth to Europeans. And then Europeans awakened their so-called the Renaissance of man. The Renaissance. And they used that awakening to the detriment of humanity. They went around the world and claimed everybody's stuff in the name of. They claimed that lands were barren and they had the right. The church, their theology gave them the right to subdue all infidels and take their land and take their resources. Yeah. It's funny that members of the African conscious community will use terms like brainwashed or unconscious to describe some of the actions of our people. We keep seeing comments like wake up all over the internet. But waking up is hard to do when you are a victim of mind control, especially if you don't know that you are. And of course, we don't know. What is mind control? In 1979, the author of Navy research at Stanford University in California released a document describing mind control. Information is systematically hidden, withheld, or distorted. It is impossible to make unbiased decisions. Under these circumstances, people may be subtly led to believe that they are freely choosing to act. It's mind control. When information is systematically hidden, withheld, or distorted, it is impossible to make an unbiased decision. Under these circumstances, people may be subtly led to believe that they are freely choosing to act. In other words, mind control is the practice of miseducating people so that they believe that they're acting freely when in reality they're behaving in ways that benefit the dominant society. If the key to controlling the minds of the masses lies in feeding them bad information, then public school systems and the media are the most powerful ways of delivering that information. That's why it's important that we have our own schools.
Stay safe online with Dashlane.
You know, that's why it's important that we have our own schools. That's why it's important that we develop our own curriculum. That's why it's important that we get the fuck out of here and do for ourselves. That's why. But we've been trained and tricked and believing that somehow this is just as much ours as it is theirs. And we got to make these people, make them respect us, respect our humanity, and allow us to participate in their reality. In their reality. The video that is above here, talking about the development of CIA, described the United States Central Intelligence Agency's MK Ultra program under the program. An estimated $10 million or more was spent starting as early as 1953 to conduct chemical, biological, and radiological experiments to test mind control techniques. And most of these experiments were conducted at colleges and universities. You know, these things have been going on a long time. The movie industry got busted back in the 50s using subliminal seduction. You sit in a theater, and in a fraction of a second, they have soda and popcorn, candy flashing. And then you'd be like, damn, I need to go out to the lobby, you know, get myself a snack. Four American colleges and universities, 15 research foundations or chemical or pharmaceutical companies and the like, including Sandoz, previously known as Novartis, and Eli Lilly and Company, 12 hospitals or clinics, 3 prisons are known to have participated in this MK Ultra. And that's because of the declassification of documents through the CIA. In short, the United States has invested in and maintained a program for the purpose of mass mind control, and that program was never concluded. In fact, over the last 32 years, Harvard University researchers have given over $2.3 million to torture rhesus monkeys while they were under the influence of mind-altering drugs. If you go to panafricanalliance.com, you can pull this document that I'm reading from and see for yourself. And over $4 million has been spent on 3 other studies to determine violence or sexual behaviors of monkeys, rats, castrated quail, and in an effort to understand human behavior. The examples above are just one small example. The truth is that we don't know how large these programs actually are. Private companies are not required to disclose their experiments, and it often takes a citizen to expose them. For instance, Facebook experimented with controlling the behavior and emotions of its users for years before it was exposed. You can read Almost for Secret Psychological Experiments on Users. The techniques that have been learned from these experiments are being used to influence American African communities or American Africans or African communities all over the world. Do you think they would just do it here? No. All over the world, wherever African people, that's what I'm saying. The continent, throughout the diaspora, the attack is on us. But we beg those who are doing the attacking. Proof of mind control in American African communities and African communities, period. Some may think our analysis is borderline conspiracy theory, but the numbers from the National Institute of Mental Health do not lie. Neither do federal expenditure numbers in the United States. Millions of dollars have gone into inner city programs for so-called American African mental health community centers. The results have been catastrophic. Psychiatrists diagnose American African men in public in private mental hospitals as having schizophrenia at a rate up to 1,500 times higher than American white or Caucasians. More than twice as many American Africans as Caucasians are classified as mentally retarded. American Africans are given significantly higher doses of psychiatric drugs, major tranquilizers, and neuroplastics than our Caucasians. If you have the opportunity, and maybe you can still get it off of YouTube, Dr. Bobby Wright and his brilliant essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality. It is outstanding, brilliant essay. He talks about this. And of course, Dr. Bobby Wright died in 1981, I think it was. He was tremendous. One of my favorite people in our history, Dr. Bobby Wright of the Garfield Park Mental Health Institute, which later was renamed after him. National Institutes of Mental Health planned a $50 million study to investigate whether inner city American African youth had a violent gene and if isolated could be controlled by psychiatric drugs. I don't know if you remember that. I do. About 30 years ago, they wanted to just load up our community with Ritalin and other psychiatric drugs to control, because supposedly our youth were violent prone. Remember? I'm sorry. I don't know what the heck that was. Maybe came from outside. But anyway, you know, they were these drugs supposedly would make them like zombies, you know, because they were so violent prone. In 1963, the National Institutes of Mental Health established and funded community mental health centers after the direction of the National Institute of Mental Health convinced Congress that a bold new approach to the problems of mental illness was needed. Institutionalization and drugs. At the same time, the American Africans were fighting to secure civil rights. Community mental health programs were being implemented behind the scenes. American African adolescents between the ages of 13 and 17 are coercively referred to community health, mental health institutes. 55% of the outpatient visiting the community mental health centers receive a psychotropic, mind-altering drug. The suicide rate since the establishment of community mental health centers has risen to 125% in adolescents between the ages of 15 and 19. But let us see whether or not we can actually document the undermining of education of American African community. Now that you know what is being done behind the scenes and behind closed doors, it's time for you to learn how they're going to do it. In short, there are three techniques used to brainwash an individual. First, there's cognitive mind control. Remember, on this program, stated many, many times that the European, the Caucasian, suffers from cognitive, that means you're aware, dissonance. That means they ignore. They know, but they ignore. They dismiss. They reject all the information that tells them that they are not superior, that tells them that they have been wrong, but yet they don't want to hear it. They reject it. And unfortunately, we suffer from cognitive dissonance as well, because they have made us believe that we are inferior. Just like they have made themselves believe they're superior, they made us believe that we're inferior. And that information has gone global. And there's such a deep disrespect for melanated people globally. There are countries that have a small number of people who are not as melanated who are in control. And the vast majority of the melanated people feel inferior. And they bleach their skin, they straighten their hair. They're relegated to subservient positions. That's how it happens, brothers and sisters. That's what's done. Subcognitive or subliminal mind control and physical mind control. What is cognitive mind control? Cognitive mind control is information manipulated through education, ideological indoctrination, and propaganda. The best place to deliver this manipulative information is in the public school system. And the vast majority of our children are in the public school system. And even if our children are in choice and charter, it is still part of the public school system. Only an independent African-centered school is best suited for educating African children. But there are few and far between, and many of them are not well funded. That's because teachers have a captive audience full of impressionable minds that takes most of what they learn at face value. They take what they learn think about school when you were in school. Like I'm thinking about, and I remember vividly, Thanksgiving, and dressing up as either a pilgrim or an indigenous person. And of course, the idea, not what the true, and I've, you know, said that many times, and I'll do it again next week Wednesday, talk about that, you know, what the real Thanksgiving was all about. But the idea that you are taught in school, particularly when you're in second and third or fourth grade, this great dinner, because it's the harvest time, and we all sat down at this great dinner. It's unimaginable the numbers of people, of indigenous people that the European has killed, the millions of people that they have killed. I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, because one of the things that the indigenous people relied on for their sustenance, aside from maize or corn, other things they grew was buffalo. And there's this, I'm not sure exactly where it is, where the photo was taken, but there's a photo of this Caucasian standing on a mountain of buffalo bones. I don't know if you've seen that. You know, just wiping out the buffalo. They've done some dastardly ass things. We all know it. We all know it. Since teachers work for the school and the school is part of the state or the federal government, the state has the power to choose what will and will not be taught. This decision is made based on what kind of good citizens the state wants to produce. That's why this issue of critical race theory is so prominent. That's why they're pushing the 1776 model of education as opposed to the 1619 model of education. Because the reality is, you know, who was that? I think it was Napoleon. History is going to be kind because I'm going to write it or is that Winston Churchill? I don't know. It's one of them Caucasians that said, I can't remember now which one, you know. But obviously they want to control the narrative. They want to say, no, that's, you know, just like, once again, one of my favorite movies, and especially in the courtroom scene, A Few Good Men, where Colonel Nathan Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson, is being badgered by Tom Cruise's character, you know, and he blurts out, you can't handle the truth. No, they can't. They cannot handle the truth. It was sickening to see Condoleezza Rice. What kind of sleaze is a Condoleezza? It's talking about on The View, I don't want little white kids to be a, when all those many years of indoctrination where we have been, you know, our minds have been manipulated and destroyed with the images of us being unintelligent. Man. Thus, if the government wants to produce children who are obedient slaves that are willing to work and fight to death to make small groups of people rich and safe, you know, and that's the truth, you know, that's what they want, you know. They want to make slaves, you know, and willing to small groups of people to make people rich. And then this is exactly what teachers will teach. But it is not as simple as teachers saying you must work, live, and die for our leader, although that has definitely happened. The key to cognitive mind control is to take facts that can be counted, measured, touched, tasted, and verified by multiple sources known as objective facts, and add opinions, belief, and assumptions called subjective information in a way that students are not aware of. Let me repeat that. Because, see, you can present some information that is true, and then you can play with it. You can manipulate it. You can add opinions in it. You can add certain other notions in it that are subjective in a way that those who are listening, those who are being taught, are unaware of. How is cognitive mind control used in primary schools and beyond? To truly understand how cognitive mind control works, let's look at a nation that has used it to the fullest, China. The absolute master of K-12 cognitive mind control are the Chinese. Modern Chinese history, as it is taught in Chinese schools, is concerned with only one thing: increasing the population's loyalty to the Communist Party. There's also a thing where you can say stress that Zheng Pao Yi stresses ideological and political education in schools. Yi, that's the leader of China, today's China. And of course, you know, even though the Chinese society, not all of it is communist. There are very rich people. Very rich areas in China. There are cities that are just, you know, Shanghai, you know, Hong Kong. And of course, you know that there were, there, because since Hong Kong was controlled by Britain for so many years until finally it was returned to the Chinese people, how it was governed through the process that the British allowed. And of course, it became very tenuous for the Chinese government and the Chinese in Hong Kong to come to some conclusion as to how it was going to continue to be governed. And you've seen all those demonstrations and all that stuff. And that's always been died down now because they have more people in Chinese government in control of Hong Kong. Modern Chinese history, as it is taught in Chinese schools, is concerned with only one thing:
increasing the population's loyalty to the Communist Party. From primary to middle to high school, Chinese children are exposed to propaganda specifically designed to brainwash them into mindless drones that respond to any criticism of their country or party with, if you don't like it, you can leave. Yeah. You have it. Same thing here. Same thing in this country. Love it or leave it. You know. Starting at a very young age, elementary school students spend hundreds of hours learning about foreign occupation prior to Mao Zedong's China. They are taught to see themselves as victims of Western aggression, with the Nanyang Massacre as one of the most important events. The Nanyang Massacre took place during World War II, where a couple of 100,000 Chinese died. That's because of Japan. Is rehashed and retold out of the context with no other goal than glorifying the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and instilling an unnatural fear and hatred of the Japanese in the minds of the Chinese children. They show them as the most disturbing pictures and relate the most horrendous details of this event to children in the most precious and formative years of their lives in an effort to completely scare them for life. This is subcognitive mind control. Subcognitive. So there's cognitive, where you're aware, and subcognitive or subliminal, where you are unaware of what is going into your mind. This hatred of the Japanese resulted in third graders laughing at videos and pictures of atomic bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. See, so when they saw pictures from World War II, after what the Japanese had done to them, and they saw what America had done to the Japanese, you know, they had no sympathy. So why is this scary? For one, it means that almost all Chinese youth have been programmed to hate the Japanese in a most shocking way. And secondly, from an education standpoint, it means that the Chinese youth has absolutely no idea of their own country's recent history. It would be similar to the American textbooks. It would be similar as American textbooks, mass media, internet, etc., making no mention of slavery or the MLK assassination. And of course, that's what they would love to do. That's what they would love to do. By the way, meditate on that, how much information on real American African history has been left out of American school history books. Told you. With this system of cognitive mind control in place, whole groups of people can be taught to love. Taught who to love, who to hate, and how to behave, all based upon what they learn in school. Another excellent example, historically, of cognitive mind control was Nazi Germany. The youth were forced to pledge allegiance to their nation as a way of preparing them for war against all other nations. We're going to take a break here. We come back from the break. We'll continue, and I hope you will join us in this conversation. After just a little bit more to read, just not too much. And then we can have a conversation as to what we're talking about here and how deep this stuff is. And believe me, it is deep. And you know it is. So let's have a conversation about it. Mind control. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Is the Messenger Group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way,
exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, to paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. The science of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. From the scroll, straight to the verse. God to God, from God to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to make the army scene? With the cause I never pause, that simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend. A man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever-radiant awareness born forth the one. Open eye, strong sun. Practicing priests, standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to unleash. Words of God. Brought from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. What must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. I wear a crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell. Bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave. Always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like justice. Never potential, quarter of the measure. Jealousy of what are we? Becomes tendency for their thievery. Alright, cool. But no need to pull the trigger, cause that's a fool. I get my words like that in my stool. To produce the words that they dream about. It's another way of taking out these sissies. Who may try to extinct my principality. But of course I'm not having madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon, for a few seconds, pull the reins. And hear the words of the brother. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a force I exert. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize a clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you natives wanna lick. Jay brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vainglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And neither my demand makes stones seem soft. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you fake? Today, Brother J can find a better way, so be it. Plant it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear, of course, so just hasten your step to the mic and stage areas. I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places in the tenor. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step off.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
self-destruction. Yeah, it was self-destruction.
Self-destruction, it really ain't the rap audience's bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause, the way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 one is shot, who's to blame? Headline, front page, and rap's the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Took a brother's life with a knife, that's his life. Cried, cause he died of trifling death. not slept, so watch your step. Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gang bang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man, cause that's
self-destruction.
Funky fresh dress to impress, ready to party. Money in your pocket, dying to move your body. To get inside, you pay the whole $10. Scotch tape with a razor blade, tape to your collar. Leave the guns in the crack and the knobs alone. MC lights on the microphone. Bum rushing and pushing, snatching and taxing. I cram to understand why brothers don't be maxing. There's only one disco, they'll close one more. You ain't guarding the door, so what you got a gun for? Do you rob the rich and give to the poor? Yo, daddy-o, school him some more.
Just straight from the mouth. And daddy-o,
do a crime,
end up in jail, and gotta go.
Cause you could do crime and get paid today,
and tomorrow you're behind bars in the worst way.
Far from your family,
cause you're locked away.
Now tell me,
do you really think crime pays?
Scheming on taking what your brother has?
You little sucker,
you talking all that jazz.
It's time to stand together in a unity, cause if not, then we're soon to be self-destroyed, unemployed. D-rap race will be lost without a trace. Or a clue, but what to do is stop the violence and kick the science down the road that we call eternity, where knowledge is formed and you learn to be self-sufficient, independent. To teach the each is what rap intended, but society wants to invade, so do not walk this path that they laid. It's
self-destruction. It ain't for self-destruction. Self-destruction.
This is all about, no doubt, to stop violence. But first, let's have a moment of silence. Swing. Things been stated, re-educated, evaluated. Thoughts of the past have faded. The only thing left is the memories of our belated. And I hate it when someone dies to get all hurt up for a silly gold chain by chump.
Word up.
It doesn't make you a big man. And to one ain't going, this your brother, man. And you don't know that's part of the plan. Why? Cause rap music is in full demand. Understand?
Self-destruction. My name is Just Ice, a man, not a prankster. I was known as the gangster. But believe me, that is no fun. The time is now to unite everyone. You don't have to be soft to be for peace. Robbing and killing and murdering is the least. You don't have to be chained by the beast. But party people, it's time I release.
Hey yo, here's the situation. Idiocy, nonsense, violence, not a good policy. Therefore, we must ignore, fight and fussing. Heaven's at the door, so there'll be no bum rushing. Let's get together because we're falling apart. I heard a brother shot another, it broke my heart. I don't understand the difficulty, people. Love your brother, treat him as an equal. They call us animal, I don't agree with them. I'll prove them wrong, but right is what you're proving them. Take heed before I leave to what I'm saying, or we'll all be on our knees praying.
The heavy deep, deep in the heart of the matter. The self-destruction is served on a platter. Making a day, not failing to anticipate. They got greedy, so they fell for the bait. That makes them a victim, picked and plucked. New jack in jail, but did the vets give a duck? There's no one to rob, cause in jail you're a number. They never took the time to wonder about
self-destruction.
Yes, we urge to merge. We live for the love of our people, the hope they get along. Getting a point to our brothers and sisters who don't know the time.
Boys, so we run around.
Instead of your heads, you know our job to build and collect ourselves with intellect. To revolve, to evolve the self-respect.
Plus, we got to keep ourselves in check, or else it's
self-destruction.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Taki Kamban. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And then Friday, if it's Friday at 8 p.m., that's right, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot. Fridays at 8 p.m. on Fridays. Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 p.m. on Saturdays. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking today about mind control. And believe me, that's our problem. And that's why this program is here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to put something on your mind. Back here in America, the same things happen to our children. First, they are taught the Pledge of Allegiance before they even know what they're pledging. Take some time to read over this pledge and try to pick out the subtle mechanics of the mind control contained within. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Right. Why would children in school be asked to make a political pledge? The answer is that it has nothing to do with education, but everything to do with mind control, indoctrination. Understanding subcognitive mind control. Subcognitive mind control is another strategy used to brainwash the masses. The misinformation given to you as a student, objective information plus subjective information, is reinforced with images, headlines, lyrics, and with media that cannot be detected with normal five senses. They're called subliminal messages. The key to effective cognitive mind control is that it must be repeated often with easy to remember catchphrases. Subliminal messages must be loud, violent, bright, sexually charged, and sample. I don't know if any of you remember, I'm going to throw this out here, right? 800-325-3535. 800-325-3535. That's right. That was Hilton. That was their commercial for you to remember to call them for you so you can make your reservations. 800-325-3535. See how easy that is? And that was 30 years ago, even longer. The blessed place to show these images are in the media. That's why subcognitive mind control can be found in music, magazines, newspapers, television, and movies. It also is why celebrities are used to spread messages, to the masses. You can also read how black celebrities become weapons in a war on black culture. I may do that next time. How the so-called celebrities become weapons in the war on our culture. Lesser known means of subcognitive mind control include fashion, ceremonies, and dance. Fashion, hairstyles, clothing, tattoos, and accessory all have an impact on both the person seeing the clothing and the person wearing the clothing. Here's one to remember, and I know this happened about 20 years ago. The dark-skinned young man is wearing a hoodie. It says the coolest monkey in the jungle. And the Caucasian kid next to him is wearing a hoodie. Mangrove jungle survival expert. And he has a little tiger there. See, he's the expert. He's the survival expert. And the little brother, dark-skinned brother, is the coolest monkey in the jungle. And they've seen some stuff recently. You know, they keep doing that. It's all, once again, by design. You know, if anybody wants to join this conversation, please give me a call at 215-490-9832. I have a number of people in the queue. You hit star twice. That lets me know that you want to have some conversation. I'll be done with this article very shortly. The black child is labeled a monkey, but you might not know are the racist origins of the nursery rhyme Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. In the 1950s and earlier, here's how that rhyme went. Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, catch a nigger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. 1950s. The word tiger replaced nigger in the nursery rhymes to hide its racist undertone. H&M, the company responsible for the design above with the sweatshirts, was seen subtle racist subliminal messaging. Hair is just as important as clothing. Our dear ancestor, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X, Brother Omar Wally, knew this when his autobiography, he described his youthful conk, the perm, the process hairstyle this way. This was my first really big step towards self-deprecation when I endured all that pain, literally burning my flesh to have it look like a white man's hair. I had joined that multitude of Negro men and women in America who are brainwashed into believing that the black persons, we are inferior and that white people are superior, that will even violate and manipulate their God-created bodies to try to look pretty like white standards, by white standards. When it comes to creating easy to remember mind control chants, political parties never miss an opportunity to weave mass mind control into their speeches. In fact, subcognitive mind control accounted for a large part of former U.S. President Barack Obama's influence. Take, for example, these parts of his speech following his victory in New Hampshire primary elections. For when we have faced down impossible odds, when we have been told we're not ready, or that we shouldn't try, or that we should can't, or that we can't, generations of Americans have responded with a simple creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. It was a creed written into the founding documents that declared the destiny of a nation. Yes, we can. It was whispered by the slaves and the abolitionists as they blazed a trail toward freedom through the darkness of night. Yes, we can. It was sung by immigrants as they struck out from distant shores and pioneers who pushed westward against an unforgiving wilderness. Yes, we can. It was the call of workers who organized, women who reached for the ballot, a president who chose the moon as our new frontier, and a king who took us to the mountaintop and pointed the way to the promised land. Yes, we can, to justice and equality. Yes, we can, to opportunity and prosperity. Yes, we can heal this nation. Yes, we can repair the world. Yes, we can. And that was provided via the Associated Press. Subcognitive mental mind control is created as a stimulus, reflective behavior response. When I say, yes, we can, the stimulus, you feel good. You feel empowered. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. With those three words, you feel compelled to do it. Yes, we can. Try to say it to yourself now and notice the feeling, reflective behavioral response that washes over you. When the media betrays an image of beauty and acceptance, the stimulus, that image is accepted as an authoritative standard. The public responds to these images subconsciously. As a result, even young children start to believe that something is beautiful or that is something is ugly. That's why so many of our young children's minds, so they're talking about these Caucasian children. I don't want to, when our minds, our children's minds were destroyed, our young girls' minds were destroyed. Because they were, thought they were ugly. They were too dark. Their features are too ugly. Their hair is too nappy. Yeah. Mental slavery is the worst form of slavery. It gives you the illusion of freedom. It makes you trust, love, and defend your oppressor while making an enemy of those who are trying to free you or open your eyes. Examples include the results of white dial, black dial experiment, that if it was still done today, the results would be the same. When Kenneth Clark did it back in the 50s, and that was, of course, the done to deal with the school Brown versus Board of Education Supreme Court decision. It was done again back in the 90s. It was done again. The same result. Well, of course it's going to be the same result. It's the same system. It's the same system that's in control, putting that information out there. Examples include the results of the white doll, black doll experiment, and this subconscious brainwashing is why pregnant black women are bleaching their unborn babies to lighten their skin. Physical mind control. Physical mind control describes the physical means used to control cognitive brain function, including mood, clarity of thought, emotional balance, memory, and intelligence. Physical mind control can be accomplished with food, psychological drugs like Prozac, ADHD medication, and vaccines. Vaccines through surgeries like lobotomies or vasectomies and by using physical violence. Governments have even gone so far as to add chemicals to toys to physically control male aggression. David Derbyshire, a writer of the United Kingdom's Mail Online, wrote an article entitled "Chemicals Used in Plastics Feminize the Brains of Little Boys So They Can Avoid Rough and Tumble Games." You can read, you know, the article. They got a link that gives you the article. The results, once again, brothers, I'm reading from the PanAfricanAlliance.com. The PanAfricanAlliance.com. The results are extremely worrying. We know that failure lights are extremely worrying from a health perspective, leading to disruptive or male reproductive health, and it appears male behavior too. Failure lights are things that are added, that are substances. The feminization capacity of failure lights make them true gender benders. Clearly, the boys who have been studied are still young, but reduce masculinity play at their age may lead to other feminized development in later years. This cannot be good news for the long-term health and development or that in our society in general. And look at the feminization. And my good brother Baba Barudi has been writing about that, talking about that for a long time. The feminization of the African-American male. Tell you. So just hold on, family. I'm almost done and I'm opening up the phone lines. Additives, toxins, and other food poisonings literally alter brain chemistry to create calmness, laziness, and apathy. Fluoride in drinking water has been proven to lower IQs. Aspartame and MSG are exit toxins which excite the brain, excite toxins which excite the brain cells until they die and easily access in American African neighborhoods to the fast foods that contain these poisons generally have created a population that lacks focus and motivation for any type of activity lifestyle. Drugs can be an additive substance, but the mission of mind controllers is to be sure you are addicted to something. One major arm of the modern mind control agenda is psychiatry. We have talked about the above, which aims to define all people by their disorders and to treat them with medication. Force can also be effective means of mind control, as seen in a very short documentary by Naomi Klein. In it, she discusses how shock and force can be used to influence the minds of those subjugated to it. Religious cults have perfected many of the mind-controlling techniques, using everything from bright images and colorful rituals to cognitive misinformation and subliminal chants, hymns, and prayers. Members of the Heaven's Gate cult used a powerful, seductive hypnotic called barbiturate phenobarbital, and members of other religious cults use marijuana, and that's LSD. And we can't, and we cannot forget about Jim Jones. That was mass murder, brothers and sisters. But that was mass murder. He had those people come down to Guyana, and then when the government was moving in on him, made them literally under the threat of death drink cyanide-laced Kool-Aid. Is there a cure? It is possible to set yourself free from mental manipulation. Escaping patterns of thought and behavior that have been reinforced for years takes time, effort, and more courage than most people can muster. Usually a master teacher or an enlightener is needed to guide you through the three steps of mental liberation. The steps are, number one, understanding that it is not what you experience, but how you experience what you experience. This is called formal frame control. Once you can control your frame, you can then consciously depattern yourself. With the attainment of knowledge of self or insight, you will begin, this is number three, you'll begin to see the world for what it truly is. Brothers and sisters, somebody asked me, well, you did this. Well, I made a conscious choice to fall in love with being African and fall in love with Africa because of the things that I learned from the 60s. The history. When I became a firefighter, I had the opportunity to, at the firehouse, to read a lot. And what I chose to read was our history. What I chose to read led me to organizations like ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, and other American African organizations, National Black United Front. So to me, it is hard, because if it was easy, I would believe most of our people would begin to do it, because you're bombarded 24/7, 365. To learn more about the three steps to mental liberation, join the Pan-African Alliance, an organization that truly stands for the education for liberation. And you can click on the website here off this article. Once again, this is the Pan-African Alliance.com. The Pan-African Alliance.com. If you want to join the conversation, dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you are in the queue now, there are a number of brothers in it, just hit star twice. That lets me know that you want to have conversation. Hit star twice. It lets me know you want to have conversation. Because one of the main things that we have, the main thing is our minds. Our minds have been manipulated. Our minds are not our own. Do you really think if our minds were our own, we would behave the way that we do? No. We have been trained to think this way. We have been trained to believe that some way that we can make this system operate in our interests. We believe that because we've been trained to believe it. Because there's no doubt about it, if Africans wake up, go home, kick everybody off the continent, the Chinese, man. Kick out the Arabs, kick out the Indians. Everybody has a stake in Africa, and we are the ones running from it. You can see how messed up this is. That here we have, you know, one of my favorite quotes, and I'm going to say it right now because that's the bottom damn line. There is no other historical incident There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point that they were completely abandoned the superiority of the wealth of their own homeland. Everybody recognizes it but us. That we want to be up in Europe. We want to be every place else but on the continent. That we should be there working with one another, trusting one another, believing in one another, respecting one another, building families, building communities, building infrastructure, roads and highways, hospitals, schools, ports, airports. Building new ways to deal with energy as opposed to the destructive energy that is messing this damn planet up. Where still people right at this very moment don't want to give up coal, don't want to give up fuel, gas, fossil fuels. Trying to still make you believe that is that somehow what you're seeing and the extreme weather patterns is somehow an anomaly. It is not as a result of climate change or global warming. We're headed for self-destruction. We're headed for self-destruction. And the irony of that's why in Scotland, these last few weeks, last week, and I think it's ended, it ended this weekend, I don't know. But they promised to give money to developing countries because developing countries did not cause this. The so-called developed countries caused this. But the developing countries are suffering to no fault of their own. If you want to join this conversation, give me a call at 215-490-9832. If you are, I got about a number of people already in queue, but if you just want to listen, that's cool. But if you want to have a conversation, hit star twice. When you have a conversation, hit star twice. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, we can talk about anything else you want to talk about. We don't have to talk about this. But once again, it is the root cause. And, you know, it was apropos that we had Francis as one of the quotes in the Enya Sesim in Baba Baruti's narrative. Her quote in Baba Baruti's narrative. Because, caller. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, hello? Caller. Yes, go ahead. How you doing? Hello, caller. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes.
Yep. Can you hear me, Paul Bocci?
I can hear you. Go ahead. Yes.
Absolutely. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
I think there's a slight delay in this.
Is this Paul? Why don't you hang up and call back? Hang up and call back. Let's see if that'll work, okay? Love to talk to you. Ain't heard from you in a while. Please hang up and call back. Once again, you can hit star twice or hang up, call back at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Because this situation is affected globally. We're affected by the situation globally. You know, Europeans, and I was about to say about Frances, you know, when she told us that this idea of theirs is in everything they do, is in all people activity. The belief of their superiority is in everything they do. Everything was designed with them in mind. These are some selfish, greedy sons of bitches. Good afternoon. Is that better?
What up? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Wait.
Yes, go ahead.
Is that better?
Yeah, you're breaking. I think you're still breaking up. That's too bad.
Let me try and ring you back.
Okay. That's too bad. Yeah. It's in everything they do. That's why, to me, there is nothing that we can do to change it. We have to change ourselves. We cannot change them. To hell with them. It is about us. It is about our minds. It is about what we think, about what we do. It is about our health. It is about our survival. It is about us. And we must get the hell up out of here. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. You may not want to hear, but that's the bottom line. You know, many times, a lot of us don't want to hear about an end game. What is the ultimate? What is the end game? What do we really want to do? Brothers and sisters, you know it ain't about integration. You know it ain't. These people are never, ever going to be right and never, ever going to treat us right. As they say, if they ain't going to teach you right, they ain't going to treat you right. And they never will. It is incumbent upon us. It is, if it is about our living freely and doing things independently, it is incumbent upon us to make that happen. We cannot petition somebody outside of us to make that happen. 646, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening? Listen, when you going? When will your bags be packed? Then you at the airport and you going hasta la vista, bon voyage.
Well, you know.
And all of that good stuff. How long is it going to take you?
I tell you, it won't take me long.
I hear you.
It won't take me long at all because my bags are packed. They've been packed mentally for a long time. In fact, I'm gonna leave a lot of this here. I'm just going to pack whatever I need and go. That's
it. I hear you.
Yeah.
But listen, this is what I was calling to say right quick. Two of the brothers that was convicted for the killing of Malcolm X, the district attorney of New York, overturned the conviction today. Two of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
55 years later,
yeah.
Them doing over 25 years
right.
In jail.
And
all of that.
Because I
so
think
now they're going to overturn the conviction. Ain't
okay.
That a bitch?
Yeah. Because,
you know,
because I think one or two of the three were not involved at all. They were not involved.
Two of the three, right.
Those two of the three were not involved.
That conviction was
right.
Overturned.
Right. They were not involved. Yeah. And the brother, I don't know, did you see the documentary on Who Killed Malcolm X? Did you see it?
I think I may have seen it, but it's been a while, man.
Yeah, you know, but it was out 2 years ago. It is still on Netflix. You could probably still go to Netflix and check it out. And basically, it talked about the brother in Newark and the Newark Mosque.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
so
well,
they knew who
they
did
said.
It. Right, they knew who did it. And they knew the people who were in jail did not do it, but yet they let those two brothers languish in prison. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
well, you know, that's the nature of the white man
and
his behavior. Just like tomorrow they're gonna let this brother, I think, in Oklahoma die.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Based on the simple fact that he wasn't even there and all of that. Now, I mean, I don't understand, you know. Here it is, the person that did it, he's now out of jail living a life, And the person that didn't do it, who was home with his family and all of that, had an ineffable lawyer and all of that,
yeah,
he's now the one gonna die. So how the hell is that justice? I mean, you know, it just goes to show the bloodthirsty, barbaric nature of this white man. And, you know, if there's any doubt whatsoever, why would you kill somebody? If there's any doubt whatsoever,
well,
I mean, the slightest of doubt should just prevent you. Now, if you're going to keep them in jail for the rest of your life, okay, so be it. But the point of the matter is, why would you kill them knowing that there's a doubt that he didn't do it? I mean, how do you live with that self? And how do a human being process the fact that he's gonna now be put to death for something that he didn't do?
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes to show the barbaric nature of the white man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just the devil, B.
And Oklahoma's governor has that kind of mindset. So there's no doubt about that. They're going to. It's just like young Bush when he was governor of Texas. He killed a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know, he executed a number of people, you know, and his whole mindset.
Black folks like the devil,
yeah, yeah,
because Obama.
Obama, exactly, exactly.
You know what I mean? It just goes to show the mindset of the Negro.
Yeah.
The Negro is one of the most sickest beings on the planet at times. He suffers from an acute of mental illness that you just can't. You can't cure at times on certain things and certain issues. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate, but you know it's really tragic, man. That here it is, this man is gonna die, and then the fact that his mother's still alive.
Right.
His mother knows that she was right there with him at the time. All of these other people are right there with him that were there at the time, and there's nothing he can do.
So the governor. So the governor met with the Caucasians. He met with their family, and hard as the attorneys and the people who are supporting this brother try to get a meeting, and the family try to get a meeting with the governor, he dissed them. He wouldn't do it. Let's you know right now.
He's another pick bother.
Yeah.
He's the type of individual that needs the necktie. You know, until we make a decision to start to deal with these devils in that manner, then we just gonna always be in that position. You see, fear goes both ways. With us, it's just a one-sided affair.
Yeah.
They could basically do whatever they want to, and they know there's not gonna be no retaliation, retribution, or anything. That's why, you know, with this Aubrey case, I got a strong, sneaky suspicion, because I done heard the father basically say it. We may get our first time for a kill. You know what I mean? Because I think the daddy, if they walk, I think he go snap. I think he go do one of them. I really have that gut feeling, and he should.
Well, let me just say this: I think they have a better chance of being prosecuted. In some form, I'm not sure if they're going to get the highest form as opposed to Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse is going to walk.
Well, if they lose this case, they still got the feds going after them. And you know, the feds usually get you. You know, their conviction rate, they say, is 97%.
Right.
So they don't,
because they
play no.
Right,
they
because they build
no
up the case. They build all of it up in their presumption of guilt is not as high as it would be on the lower court. So I mean,
but it's just sad, man, that, you know, here it is, this young man spent basically all of his life.
Yeah. Almost 20 years.
He had no real motive to do it. He was a college student. You know, he was on the path. And how do you live with that, man? How do one, that's like torturous and torture. And here it is, the white man just gonna basically say nothing and let the guy die.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that could stop it. I mean, it's just sad, man. I mean, you know, until we deal with people like that accordingly, then we just gonna always be in this sick, twisted position, man. And it's tragic, B.
Yeah.
It's really tragic. It breaks your heart to see that we as a police, as a people, so collectively, so cowardice on dealing with our enemies, and just trying to sustain our humanity here in this hellhole.
Yeah, I hear you.
And we talking about America is the greatest effing place on the planet. Get the F out
I'm
of here.
Here. Yeah, you I know agree. What I mean? I agree with that.
But listen, get you another caller.
All right, my brother.
Hopefully Paul will be able to call back in and just put me on mute. And
all right, bro.
If I got to, I'll pop back in.
All right, brother.
Hotep.
All right. Jay? Not Jay. Paul, is that you? Unknown caller? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Let's see if that's better.
How are you, Bubba?
I'm doing well, man. How you been?
Yeah, well, you know, animated, we're live, so if we're live, we can do better, and better we must do.
That's right. If you're still kicking, continue to fight. That's right. I agree.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's happening in the UK, man?
I hope you don't mind if it actually happened on the Carl Nelson show, and I haven't had a chance to ring in there, but I hope you don't mind. I just want to bring it up, if you don't mind.
Sure, please go ahead.
All right. And what I'm saying is, because when I heard Brother Jay, it just reminded me of something. A sister rang up the Carl Nelson show, a sister, Fahima. And I've listened to her quite a while, and I think she's from the same place as Brother Jay. She's from Harlem, around those areas.
Okay.
And she's, by all accounts, I've listened to her, and she's done some outstanding work. But she said something on the show, and it was about this thing that took place in Barbados a few years ago. They had some conference down there, anti-racist, to do with reparations in Barbados, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
And she something happened there, and I didn't go there. I wasn't there, but I was well aware of what happened because the people who was involved are heavily involved in the reparations, and one of them you even know. And she actually mentioned him, that person, and I know that person very, very well. Is that she made a statement? She said something along the lines is that what actually happened, as I understand it, as far as she's concerned, she saw someone from the UK start to disrupt the meeting. And the guest who was on the show was actually there as well. And he described it as the person was screaming. Now, I know that person. And I think you know that person. You met that person. And the bottom line is that person doesn't scream. And the reason why I thought of Brother Jay, because he reminds me of Brother Jay. He's a very outspoken, he's a person. He's just not going to sit there. If things are wrong, he's not the one to be quiet. You know, sometimes, in my experience, when we go to these meetings with the so-called Afrocentric people dressed up in their dashikis and their beads and whatever, sometimes when it's time to make noise, they don't make the noise or they don't do what they're supposed to do, but they'll tell you that they're African-centered. Well, he's not one of those ones. He's one of those ones who's going to rule a lion. He is a lion. I know him personally. And it was just interesting how she saw this person disrupt the meeting. And she labeled him as, she actually said that, she, you know, if Tony Blair had sent this contingent to the UK, which was a little disrespectful because I know that guy personally and I know he's a lion. He's a real lion. In actual fact, one of his relatives got shot by police some years ago, and it caused one of the biggest uprisings in the UK has ever seen. That was the Brixton riots. And, you know, that guy is a lion. I've been on marches with him. The police have told us we can't go there, and we have forced our way through. He don't play. I'm just saying that sometimes when we observe certain things about our people, before we say or talk or put each other down, we should know who we're dealing with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Jay, you know, for those who don't know this character, I know him very well. In actual fact, the first time I met him, and this is the honest truth, I was in a situation where five men from Afghanistan over a dispute, which I won't go into, was ready to take me on, five of them and me one. I would have probably come out worse, but he stepped in. That's how I actually met him.
Okay.
Where other Negroes were just watching. These Negroes, they're full of talk, but when it comes down to action, they're not full of that action. He is. He's ready, street ready, and he's one I would rely on if it come to the battle. I would call him, and I know. So I'm just saying, and it's something I'm going to take up on that show, because you know, sometimes we call ourselves conscious, and about this white Rasta who conducted the meeting, how she felt offended that this white Rasta, because what actually happened, he said that he's at a meeting for reparations in Barbados.
Okay.
They've traveled from the UK to Barbados. He doesn't understand how there's white people there. And he told the white people to leave. He told them to leave. He said, no meetings going on with these white people here. Now, many people might think he's out of order.
No, he's on point. He's on point.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Now, he didn't just tell him to leave. He didn't just tell him to leave. He shut down the meeting. He said nothing is going on here until they leave, and they had to leave.
Yes.
That's what type of person he is.
Yes.
He don't play. He ain't one of these Negroes who just talk, and when it comes down to it, they just pretend. He ain't that. If he says you have to leave, there's going to be war if you don't leave. That's what he's like. Police will have to be called, soldiers will have to be called, and it's going to be trouble. You understand? So, you know, they're the kind of Negroes that I like. I like the lions. I'm a lion too.
I heard
I like
that.
The lions. I don't like to run with the sheep because sooner or later I will devour the sheep. Mm. You understand?
Yeah.
I don't want to bring that up. Sometimes with our people, when it's time to do what we need to do, they start to we need to do. They just want to talk, pretend, dress up in African clothes, wear beads, talk a lot of nonsense, and when it comes down to it, they don't want to do it. Understand?
Yeah, there's
that was the dilemma. Yeah. That was the dilemma she was referring to. She was upset that this black man from the UK got up and shut down the meeting and said nothing is going on until these white people leave. Every one of them.
Was she upset?
And they had to leave.
Was she upset with that fact that he did that, or was she upset that the Caucasians were there?
She was upset with that because she kept on saying, "Oh, this white master man who organized the meeting," because what it is, I think it turns out, and I didn't know this, but she says that the white people he asked to leave, okay, they were translating Spanish or whatever it is, into English, where they were speaking English. Yeah?
Okay, so there were translators. Some of them were translators.
Yeah, and I think that upset her along with the fact that one of the organizers was a white Rasta. Well, the bottom line is, I understand that, and I appreciate where she's coming from, but I just wanted to say, I know this character, and I know that if he's going to travel from the UK to Barbados, which is supposed to be a black country, he ain't going to take no white people there.
Right.
He ain't going to take that.
Right, I agree. Then they need to have some African translators there. They're African translators, you know. In all translators,
well, exactly, Bob. But that's what exactly when she was actually saying that. That's exactly the thought I got. But this is the problem with us. This is the problem with us. You see, we just play this game. We're just in this play thing. And you know, I'm going to bring it up because I want to make her know this. You know, when they got back to the UK, I tell you how serious what he did was. When they got back to the UK, so I heard the story. He's told me the story. I know what went down. They were actually watched by the police for about 3 months. When they came out of their house, the police was outside their house, or the agencies, MI5 or whoever they were. They were waiting and watching them and following them everywhere because the Barbadian government complained to the UK authorities. That's how serious it was. But this is a serious man. He ain't no joker. He
right.
ain't no play, just dress up in African clothes, wear African beads, and just talk a lot of nonsense. He ain't one of those. He's serious. You know, so, you know, some of us out here, we're not just in it for the play game, just to look good, talk good, and pretend that we're African. And
no.
And when it comes down to doing proper African things, we can't do it.
No, because at this juncture, at this stage, we can see and understand, those of us who overstand, can see how serious this is. We are in a war for our very lives. This is very serious. We are in a war for our lives. Let me take this call here, Paul. Just hang on. 919-919-768. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey,
Hotep,
Baba.
To everybody on the show.
Hotep, Baba. How you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, thank
Good.
You.
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to make a quick comment.
Please.
I was watching a program about Detroit, and one of the brothers on there, he said, you know, children don't grow up saying, when I grow up, I want to be a murderer and kill people and spend the rest of my life
right.
in jail.
That's right.
And I thought about that, and I said, if you take some children, African children, say 10 years old, and ask them what do they want to be, and they tell you the things that they want to be, and between 10 years old and 17 years old, they riding around with guns and shooting each
right.
other and drive-bys and things like that, what happened in that time?
Right. Right. What discouraged
them? What
happened
in the evolution of that time when they didn't have any of that on their mind?
That's right.
That they were engaging in behavior that was going to get them either killed or in jail for the rest of their life at 17 or 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What radical type of things entered into their head and made them want to give up their life?
And it's unfortunate
this is
because...
This is a question we need to face for our
right,
youth.
Right, and because the reality is the environment that we're in causes us that when we're at 10 years old, they had those aspirations. 7, 8, 10 years later, all of that's gone because the environments that they're in was not conducive for them to have that development and growth. Yes, there are some individuals that may overcome, but basically, because of that environment that they're in, their mindset will be about their survival. The survival of the fittest. I got to get mine. And so therefore, you know, if I got to take yours, so be it. You know, and then, of course, with that kind of mentality, next thing they know that they're just like what Brother Jay was talking about the brother. Now, he engaged in some criminal activity. It wasn't like he was innocent and framed. No, he was not. But it was not him who did the murder. But he mm-hmm. engaged in some criminal activity, you know. And so now he's in a situation where after 20 years, it's just like they showed this brother who stole something, $50 worth of something, and he's been in prison for 40 years. 40 damn years.
Yeah.
For something he stole way back in the 60s for 50 damn dollars. Now he's getting out. You know, this system is just so damn corrupt and so evil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I was just looking at the tragicness of that,
mm-hmm.
that you can see a child in your home and how that child develops. But there's a child that lives right down the street.
Right. Who doesn't
and
have
like
that same situation.
That fourth grade class with those 10-year-olds, one of them may end up killing the other one.
Yeah. Yep.
That they were friends with and playing with and didn't have a thought like that in their mind.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So.
There's poison in the cookies.
I say, Baba, you're right. Yeah. Well, it's time for me to get up out of here, man.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. Hope you can listen on Friday, man. You have a blessed day, Baba. All right. Brother Paul? Brother Paul?
Yeah, you know, all I'm going to say to you is, you know, the Michael Jackson song, They Don't Care About Us. And that's it, brother.
That's
they don't
it.
Care about us.
They don't care.
Why should we don't need to ask
that's right.
why they do the things they do.
That's right. They don't.
They
why
don't
should white people care about us?
We got to just start kidding.
Would you say?
Why should white people care about you?
Absolutely, they don't.
Why should white people
absolutely.
Care about you?
And we gotta start cutting.
Yeah, I mean, what is? Why should they? What reason do they have to care about people who they deem to be their enemy and inferior to them. Why should they? I never understand
understand this. They say one thing and they do another. That's why. That's why you call them in on how they respond to things, because they purport themselves to be loving. Didn't they give you a religion that is so beautiful, and all you got to do is believe and you'll have everlasting life and so forth? Huh? Didn't they do that?
But I don't know. I don't practice this shit.
But anyway, I got to go, man. I got to go. I got to go. Go ahead, Paul.
Start caring for us. For our own survival, we got to start caring for each other.
That's right. That's the fact. All right, brother. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Jay. You guys have a blessed day, Hotel family. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodie. Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.